This is the All Things Nerd Podcast, Season 4, Episode 31. On tonight's cast, we are going to talk about some new casting rumors and official casting for some comic book properties. We're also going to be discussing things that we've discussed before. You know, George R. R. Martin, again, we got to get into some stuff with him. And we're also going to talk about those crazy geek-themed insects from Australia, because there's a new one. That and much, much more. So with that, here's the intro. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mess 5150, welcoming you back to another All Things Nerd podcast. A little bit late, a little bit sober, a little bit ready to get going. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. This podcast is brought to you by malice-corp.com. Head on over to the website to find everything else that we've done for the last 4 years, including some written articles, some nerd fights, and previous episodes of this podcast. This podcast is recorded every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Twitch at twitch.tv/malice-corp. So if you're checking this out elsewhere, you're not here live, please come join us. Let's have some fun. Let's talk about some nerd geek and pop culture. We always open this show out with a little thing that we call getting your geek on. Ain't nobody got time for that. Getting your geek on is the stuff that we've been doing for the last week or since the last time we saw people here on the cast, talking about what they've been geeking out on. If there's things that you, the public, that don't have all the time in the world to watch and read and do everything. None of us have all the time in the world to do that. To get some recommendations from us of what you should waste your time on or what you should not waste your time on, as well as we look for recommendations from the chat room. So if you guys can let us know in the chat room, we greatly appreciate letting us know those hidden gems that you've been geeking out on that we should be checking out. So I'm going to welcome back. We haven't seen him in a few weeks because he's been out and about and around the bend a couple times.
Traveling the world.
Yeah. Icy Zorro's back on the cast. Sir, how you doing? What you been geeking out on?
Back from New Jersey. The Italian food was fantastic. The work was miserable, but whatever. So two main things. If you like decent cover bands with spectacular lead singers, I found this band called First to 11. I guess they're based out of Erie, Pennsylvania, and the girl that's the lead singer for this cover band has got a magic voice. So I just been like, they play all kinds of stuff, and I've just been basically playing their entire playlist straight through. But the main nerdy thing I've been doing is I started watching The Expanse. I know I'm a little bit behind on that, seeing as how it's in season 5 now. I'm about halfway through season 3, and it's really good. It's basically Battlestar Galactica meets Blade Runner meets the Codex Alera. It's bizarrely good.
Nice. What type of music was that for the one group?
They're a rock band. It's like a 4-piece rock band that does just incredible covers. Called First to 11.
First to 11. Because I keep thinking of the old rock group 8-Stop-7, which was impossible to find out what their name was for the longest time. saw them live that band live a couple times at where I live in Riverside. They used to have this festival that bands would play at, and they played there a couple times. So
this is a high school.
Orange Blossom.
Orange Blossom.
They're primarily high school kids, and I'm not sure if it's like a performing arts high school or what. But this band, while they were all still in high school, won the Rock Off at the Cleveland Hall of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2 years in a row. First band to do that in 20 years.
So
yeah, they're good.
Are they going to be the Wild Stallions? Are they going to bring us our Fix the World song that we
need? I've heard them cover everything from Sweet Child of Mine to Nothing Else Matters to Avril Lavigne's Boyfriend to Aha's Take on Me. They have a huge they've done My Chemical Romance and other nice punk pop bands and shit. Like, they've done a lot of great covers. The only original song that I've heard of theirs sounds like generic pop rock, and it was called She's Barely a Six.
So like, they need, really they need, good. They need to go through time to learn some stuff so they can come back yes. and save us all.
They're okay. really good at playing instruments and singing. They need to work on writing.
Okay. Yeah. Also joining us on the cast, we have Masonic Vader. How are you, sir? What have you been geeking out on?
I'm doing all right. It's been an interesting geek. Well, a couple weeks. I got to give props to Netflix for saving me. I'm a diehard Bulls fan. It took me 2 months to be able to see The Last Dance because it's on Netflix. So I was able to binge that last week. That was an awesome docuseries. Definitely check that out. And then the other thing is it's COVID summer for me at my apartment here. And so I introduced my son to another great movie from the 80s, Space Jam. So, and here's the cool thing. Like, it's taken me forever to do so because if you look on Amazon Prime, it's not available to rent or buy. You don't find it on Google. I'm like, dude, when am I going to be able to see this? Surprisingly, it's free on YouTube. So if you would like to relive that Space Camp movie, go to YouTube, look it up. You have the full movie, no commercials, and all its glory. It's good times. Not a sponsor, by the way, for any of the stuff that I mentioned.
I wish YouTube was a sponsor. They used to be a somewhat sponsor when they let us be a partner, and then they screwed us, and now we're still over there.
I want Space Camp to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah, no joke.
I think I used to watch that movie like every summer as a kid, so it's usually not a good thing. Awesome. What's that?
Was it Sarah Jessica Parker? Who was in that?
Oh, it was Kelly Preston. It was Leah Thompson. Leaf Phoenix, who is now Joaquin Phoenix.
Where did you get Sarah Jessica Parker?
I don't know.
You know what it is?
Project X?
No. I'll tell you why. Because Kelly Preston reminds me of Sarah Jessica Parker younger, but also because she was in that movie Girls Just Want to Have Fun. So he's mixing the Holly Hunter or whoever was on the other side of that one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's mixing up his 80s movies.
Yes, absolutely.
No, Super Hoovian Freak joins us. What have you been geeking out on, Super?
I rewatched the second Psych movie to rewatch it. And then I'm still finishing Lucifer. I just started season 4. Really like the season 3 finale. I really like Tom Welling on the show. I mean, I've seen Tom Welling, obviously. He did that other superhero guy, you know, for 11 years or whatever. But it was fun to see him in something. Cause I take that back. I saw, what was that movie he was in? Cheaper by the Dozen with Steve Martin. Was it Steve Martin? Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
So that was okay. So I saw him in that movie. I didn't see the sequel, but it was fun to see him play. Well, I won't spoil anything. So it was fun to see him in a show like this where he was not playing Superman. Yeah, did really good.
A little bit of
crossing
mythology for you.
Yeah. So him and Tom Ellis had fantastic chemistry. And I basically determined that Tom Ellis is just the British Jensen Ackles. I mean, what can that man not do? He plays the piano, he plays the guitar, he dances, he sings, he acts. I freaking hate him. I hate him. He's horrible. The world can't handle two of those. If the two of them ever act together, like, that's the apocalypse. It's going to happen.
Just imagine babies.
The apocalypse is already happening, so.
In progress.
We also have HJZ Grok joining us in the chat room. She is watching The Good Place Season 1, just finished. Fantastic series.
You will love that series.
And after you watch it...
It is a nearly flawless series.
Yeah, exactly. And after you watch it, they just dropped like, what was it, like a 9-minute long, literally the last couple days, a 9-minute long bloopers reel for the last season. So even though the show's ended earlier. So, yeah. So lastly on our cast, we have Nudie Rudy. Blaine's brain is just blanking. So what have you been up to, Nudie?
Binging a decent bit lately. Yeah. been watching all kinds of stuff. Finished up The Boys and finished up Mad Men. Nice long run of watching that with the girlfriends. Good show. Very much enjoyed it. Just today I've been binging the crap out of Umbrella Academy since I just had the second season pop out. Thoroughly enjoying that so far, although I do have to say that it's retreading a lot of the same ground with the plot there so far. And
they figured it's been a while since you watched, so you gotta, you know, maybe you'll forget, and you gotta reignite that magic that was there that made you watch it in the first place.
Well, it's not even that. It's the fact the whole gist of the whole season is basically, like, no spoilers, no spoiler for anybody, but it's very similar.
Take off your headphones.
You know?
Well, I mean, it's like when Armageddon and Deep Impact came out in the same year.
Yeah.
So, we're all going to watch it. Yeah, he's done. He hasn't given any spoilers. Chill. He knows better than
that. This is how bad it is for me. I have my son, so I can't watch Umbrella Academy right now. And the other night, Wednesday night, I was thinking, oh, God, man, I can't wait. It's coming out on Friday, but I didn't think it was Wednesday. So I was like, I'm not tired yet. 12:05 shows up. I go to Netflix. I'm like, it's not on here. What the hell? And then I realize it's Wednesday, now Thursday. So I had to wait another day. I'm bummed.
You could have watched it last night at midnight. That's when it came out.
You know what? I cracked it open, and I watched the first 5 minutes of it and realized I can't do this because I'm going to fall asleep one way or another, even though I like the series. So I'm not going to go like 20 minutes, fall asleep, and then all of a sudden get lost four episodes deep. So, yeah.
Don't worry, Ken. Little Angus Young goes ham and slaughters everybody except for Gorilla Boy. So you didn't miss anything.
Nudie Rudy, if you would not like to, you know, disappear – anywhere, I would suggest you calm yourself.
Taste his shoelaces from behind.
Cannon Fodder also joins us in the chat room. Lets us know that he's been geeking out on Dimension 404. I don't know if that just means the 404 message that's going to be popping up. The 404 message is going to be popping up.
A whole different thing.
That sounds like the future is for us.
Well, it was spelled as dementia at first, but then it's dimension. So that's what threw me off was the spelling on it.
He's dimensioning 404.
Dementia 404. The memory is not found. It's the same thing.
It's on Hulu, he says. All right, my geek out. Grace Girlfriend. I went back to it. I binged the entire series. Love that series. And I never finished it. I never got to, after the second, getting into the second season, and Santino Fun, I can't remember the guy's name. But after he left the series, I was fully caught up, and I never went back to it. Which, reason he left the series was he was like, well, I had other offers, and we didn't know if the show was going to get picked up. It turns out he ended up being Hans, the voice of Hans in Frozen, and then he won a Tony for Tootsie on Broadway. So I guess it was a good decision for him, but it made for an interesting twist later in the season. But yeah, great, great series. The last episode, it just made me even more mad because it was a concert of the cast getting together out in California that I wanted to get tickets for, but it sold out so stinking fast. And it just, yeah. So,
so you're like, I would have been there. You bots, you bastards. I would have been there.
Didn't realize how big of a fan base Crazy Ex-Girlfriend had until they went on tour and stuff. And it was like, holy crap, this has got a pretty massive fan base. So, you love Broadway, you love comedy, and you love stuff that isn't afraid of not pulling punches, because they talk about everything from suicide to disorders. Because that's
No, it sounds like it's going on my list.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's actually a really, really good show. So,
and very constant breaking of the fourth wall.
Yeah, breaking fourth walls. Yeah, I love the exactly. So that's been my geek out. It's just been like, I'm gonna go binge this and finish it off so I can get it done with. So yeah, that's all I got. I got nothing bad to stay away from. So let's get into this show. This is What the Upfront. It's the last Friday of the month, so
What the Upfront,
yeah.
Upfronts.
What the Upfronts is, so these were pilots that were picked up or were being worked on earlier in the year. Who knows if they're picked up anymore? Who knows if anything's being worked on anymore? Everything's on hiatus unless it's a cartoon.
There's,
That was something made abundantly clear at Comic-Con. If you were an animated show, you had work the entire time, because they're just like, yep, every animated show was like, oh no, we didn't stop. We're pumping out a whole new season.
Yeah, all that software you used to draw our pictures for us, you could do that at home.
Meanwhile, Walking Dead's like, we don't know when season 11's coming.
they don't know when it's coming because they're living it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Bicycle Girl is outside, so.
These are shows that nobody knows what they are about. I give the title of the show, and this fine panel of people give me their thoughts of what the show's about. It's a little improv game, and you in the chat room can tell us what you think it's about as well, and we'll laugh along with you. All right, so first show on this, we've got Crazy for You.
Shrinks inappropriately falling in love with their patients. It's a half-hour comedy. Multicam.
Oh.
Yeah, but don't sessions go at least an hour? Saying.
It's.
I didn't say they were good doctors.
Oh, man.
The retelling of You, but from the Crazy Girl's point of view.
The You on Netflix.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. The whole second season is from Love's point of view.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be fun.
It's got to be some kind of a psych ward kind of show or something. But I would love to think it would be the years of Harley Quinn in the psych ward. That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. You got anything, Nudie?
That's too cool. It won't be that.
You got any thoughts, Nudie? Ready? Did we lose him?
He's got a mute button that works.
He's not muted.
No, he's frozen.
What the up front?
I see him moving. He's moving around.
Oh, now he's muted.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Plug in your mic, dude.
We can't hear you. You may have to go
You're
out and come back in.
You're sitting on your mic.
You have to go out and come back in, apparently.
Oh.
Boy, everybody's having the computer
smoothest night.
Wait. The guy who usually has the computer problems is not having a computer problem. Yeah.
HJZ Grok says, it's crazy for you. A woman inherits her father's sheep ranch.
That's funny. I think I read that book in college. Okay. I'm
Is that better?
Certain.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, good. We can actually
Is that
hear
called
you.
Anne of Green Gables?
No.
So what, did you have any thoughts on
Crazy
For You?
That was a pretty lame joke, but Crazy For You is going to be the documentary telling of the founding of Little Caesars. Crazy For You.
Or crazy it's a docu-series behind the crazy bread.
Yeah,
oh, exactly. My gosh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
the story of diabetes.
All right. Oh, the show was actually, and it does give me little updates here, so it got rolled to next season. Why? Because we couldn't film the show. And they released...
Was that next season or next decade?
I don't know. And they released the cast, so they're not being held under contract.
Peace now.
So, this revolves around Daisy, who, with her life stalling, re-enters the dating scene only to discover that while she was out of the game sort of totally completely changed. Realizing she's a bit rusty at being normal and appealing on first dates, she'll need the support of her friends as she strives to succeed while being her true self in today's quick-to-dismiss dating culture. It did have Shelley Hennig, Alice Lee, Tiana Okoye, and Nick Cafaro, but they're all... X'd out because they all moved on, and
probably for the best. I mean, that is,
yeah,
that's not getting my interest going there.
We can't have a single TV show where Wes can completely correctly pronounce everybody's name. That
well, and it did definitely. It was definitely a comedy because it was Lorne Michaels attached and Seth Meyers, and so it had a good attachment to it to create it. We'll just see what the cast will be because apparently they didn't ditch it. They just got rid of the cast. So let's see. Next show was, if I can get over there really quick. No, we don't want to do that one.
That's Crazy For You, the sequel.
No, we've got Someone Out There.
Crazy For You.
Someone Out There?
Someone Out There.
It's a search and rescue at sea show.
Like
come on, man. No, you're not even trying tonight. You're not even trying. God.
Okay, so what's the game you've been playing? Stranded Deep or something like that? Yeah, it's
been a while.
Planes that are looking for that person.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Anybody else?
Someone out there? Someone out there.
No matter how many times you say it, it's not going to change the name of the show.
It's the return of Fievel.
I was just thinking that. I was thinking that Fievel.
I was starting to sing the American song in my head.
It's the live action Fievel Goes West.
Yep. No, Fievel goes back east.
Fievel stuck on a mousetrap.
Fievel left the West. The West sucked.
Ruru 2 joined us in the chat room.
There are cats in America. And the streets are not paved with cheese.
No.
No.
Ruru 2 joins us in the chat room and says, it's about finding an alien lover. Someone out there. Yeah, I you know
what? Dude, that's actually... it's speed dating. Right out there, yeah. Speed dating, alien edition. There you go.
Lots of anal probing.
Oh, God.
Oh, is that all the thoughts we have for...
all up in the ISS space station.
About? Someone out there also rolled to next season, and the cast was also released for this one. It was a romantic comedy about two sets set in their way adults who are challenged by very unexpected strangers to become the best versions of themselves in order to find love and possibly each other. Based on the format, I can't even name the format. Picanus Quincidentes? Quincidencias? Picanus Quincidencias? Yeah.
Little coincidences.
Created by Javier Viega. It did have Ryan Hansen from Veronica Mars, Amy Carrera from Elena of Avalor, Neil Casey from Avenue 5, and Camilla Bapornia. Yeah.
Yeah. When you see it next, it's going to have Steve.
So they all got released. You had some 30 Rock creators on there. So, yeah.
Solid pedigree.
Release the cast, but the show is still going to get
picked up, huh?
Picked up with a new cast.
Okay, so Ruru 2 in the chat room says, Will Riker searching for love connection with alien species? I'll do you one better. It's freaking Captain Kirk on date. On,
the original.
On dates.
Dog,
yeah, the original.
Neither Riker nor Kirk needed to search out love. It came to them.
Yeah, if it was green, it was Kirk.
Cannon Fodder has, it's the story of a professional YouTuber. There's someone out there to watch, I guess.
Damn, that's too close to home. No, I'm just kidding.
That's kind of where we're at, yeah. All right, we've got Grand Crew.
Grand Crew?
Grand Crew.
That better not be some Gran Turismo racing BS show.
I think it's a wine show.
Yeah, Grand Cru is a classification of wine in France. However, so it's either a show about sommeliers in the wacky world of wine, or it's about rowing it at elite colleges.
Damn it! You stole my idea. That's why you're supposed to go with one.
Are you trying? You're trying to be literal.
I think that one was a try. I think it's a reality TV on a cruise ship.
Well, this is what happens when we get a sommelier on the cast. They figure out the Grand Crew has something to do with wine. Yeah, you pretty much. It's a comedy, and it's get over here. It will film in the fall. It's an ensemble comedy.
Of 2022.
Yeah, no, it's an ensemble comedy about a group of black friends, their dating lives, and wine. And it's got Nicole Byer, Aaron Jennings, Carl Tart, Echo Kellum from Arrow, Justin Cunningham from When They See Us, and Richard Brooks.
All right.
Sounds like Cougar Town, but just not white.
Yeah, that's basically it. Might be what it is. Okay. Last.
Your
last,
friends, cast members. Yeah.
Last show that we'll go over for this round of What the Upfronts. Young Rock.
Young Hawk?
Young Rock.
Young Rock? Rock?
Mm-hmm.
Someone cast as Baby Rock and basically Young Sheldon.
Baby Rock.
I mean, it's not a obvious.
Oh, you're talking.
I'm
Rock
not
from
going
WWE.
With the obvious one.
Yeah,
I'm
talking
not
Rock.
Going
oh,
with
okay,
Rock
okay.
Johnson. Come on,
Baby Rock. Come on.
It's Young Rock.
You know?
Okay.
I want to see Baby Rock doing wrestling moves in his living room.
But it's not Baby. It's Young Rock. So it would be like Everybody Hates Chris. You know, young.
It's
Chris.
The, It's the Rockin' Elementary School going to kick Sheldon's ass. There you go. How about that? Yeah. Lay it the speck it down on your candy ass.
He's young Rock, but it's like the Rugrats, where he's like the leader of their little gang.
It's an origin for Never Ending Story character, the Rockbiter.
I like that.
That's a good one. Do you have anything, Nudie?
It's the origin story for the world's greatest geologist.
Before his rock.
Dwayne Johnson, yeah.
Going back to the chat room really quick before I give what the show's... Did I just freeze? No, there. Going back to the chat room really quick before I give what the show's about, HJZ Grok said Grand Cru was... It just jumped up. A winery show run by a recovering alcoholic.
Still entirely possible.
Yeah.
That's probably anybody on this cast.
So it's Cheers, but behind a wine bar instead of a regular bar.
They said it was the sequel to Talladega Nights movie made for TV. And the Bearded Master jumped in with, it's about Dwayne Johnson. Stories of him following Daddy Rocky Johnson as he gets started. Antique Roadshow for Rocks is what HJZ Grok said. So, oh God, this has been an interesting one. Young Rock is based on Dwayne The Rock Johnson's formative years. He will appear in every episode, bookending flashbacks to early points in his life growing up in Hawaii and becoming a wrestler turned actor. It went straight to series order. So
it was the obvious answer.
It was the obvious answer.
Yeah.
And that's what Super
America always... just loves him. They'll buy anything with him in it.
Well, and that's why Super's here, because she always goes, she gets the obvious answer.
That one was way obvious. There was no way that we weren't going to guess that.
I didn't want to guess it. It was in my head. I was trying to do something different.
I was going to go Flintstones route, but I just couldn't because I knew.
And Bearded Master said seriously.
I did seriously, because I mean, look, even IC was like, you know, Vader, do the obvious. And what I say, I don't want to do the obvious. I said that.
Cannon Fodder says it's the story of how whiskey is made. Young Rocks, you know, whiskey on the rocks. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's all we got for what the upfronts. Let's just get into the big portion of the show. That is the nerd news. Nerd news. And this week, we had some casting to talk about. I'm going to go with the first one that I know everything about that's confirmed by Variety. Haley Steinfeld is cast into Hawkeye. I was going to say Hawkman. She's cast in Hawkeye to play Kate Bishop. Right?
We're back.
I hit that one right?
Yes.
It's Kate Bishop. Yes. Because people were wondering who was going to play Kate Bishop. Well, Haley Steinfeld is the one playing Kate Bishop. What do you guys think about that?
I'm not as familiar with her as you guys probably are, really? But she seems perfect. Fine. I didn't see the third one. Was she in all of them?
She's second one for sure.
Second one.
Did she play the new girl?
She's the new girl. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I hated her character.
The flashlight phone.
Sorry, she drove me insane, and I just wanted to punch her in the face with her stupid candle.
And she's also in Bumblebee
for True Grit.
Ah, Bumblebee. Yes, okay, I did like Bumblebee.
Like 14, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't get that Oscar nom for True Grit.
Yeah.
She's a really talented actress. She was fine.
I just hated her character in Pitch Perfect. But I think she'll be fine. I think it'll be fun.
If it ever gets made. Ruru2 says, doesn't matter who is writing and directing. It's an MCU film, a series. So it's Kevin Feige in charge, and he'll put whoever else is in charge. I have no doubts about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the writing.
Yeah, without any of the other stuff, the good thing is Jeremy Renner is going to come back too. So none of that stuff about him not coming back, which is good, because I don't see anyone else playing Hawkeye. I think he's filled the role quite fine.
Was there stuff about him not coming back? Because that was when they first announced that the series was happening, for sure. He was the one on stage there to say it was happening.
There were some rumors going about for past, some stuff that's in the past or something like that, or things he said or something. Some of the stupid allegation, or I don't want to say allegations. Let me rephrase that. Stuff that he's probably said way back in the day, and they feel like he shouldn't be able to do it now.
Oh, it was a cancel.
Like the first thing I remember seeing was like when him and Chris Evans were doing press for Marvel movies where in some of the junkets they'd be doing for like 9 hours, make some stupid off-color joke about Natasha sleeping with all the Avengers, and they got in trouble for that.
So it was a cancel culture thing. Okay, I get it.
Yep.
Yeah. But well, I'm good with the casting. I like it.
I just want to drop that Ian brought up the Hawk identity there. That was very nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody had to get it.
I don't let that slide under. That was pretty.
I do want to...
Okay, in the chat,
yes.
HGZ Grog said she's really good in Edge of 17. I saw that recently. That is a fantastic, great film.
Yes,
she's
fantastic
movie.
In that. Yes, I forgot that she was in that. HGZ Grog also went Yoda on us because Bumblebee she is in.
Yes.
Is what she said.
Yeah.
I did like Bumblebee a lot.
Ruutu said, doesn't Chris Evans have a political show interviewing politicians? He might. I don't know.
So. Don't know.
Politics not here.
I think that's Chris Matthews?
Chris. No, he doesn't work anymore.
Maybe Chris Pratt.
I do like the casting, though. It'd be nice to see her. She's shown her acting chops as far as, you know, with the Oscar nom with True Grit. I liked her in Bumblebee. I haven't seen Pitch Perfect 3. It's not on my list to watch movies. But I'd be interested to see how she does with the full-on action because she is going to, you know, this is going to be a pure action part for her. She's going to have to learn, obviously, archery and stuff. So I'd be interested to see how she can mash everything together.
She did a movie called Barely Lethal that was sort of like a high school action-adventure movie where she did a lot of, like, flippy stunts and whatnot.
Well, I mean, I think this is the first introduction that we're going to be getting of like the new Avengers, the young Avengers will be, because you haven't, they announced a Ms. Marvel series, they announced a She-Hulk series. I think those are going to be two new Avenger characters, but I think this is going to be the first character because they're going to start filming this, they said, in October. They're going to, their plans are to start finally doing the Hawkeye series. So I think it'll
coming
be
in Georgia.
Yeah. So yeah.
Everything's happening in Georgia right now.
Believe me, I know.
So we're all good for this. Let's talk about the rumor mill. Rumor mill. So J.J. Abrams, it's already confirmed that he's working on a Justice League Dark series for HBO. And one of the key characters in Justice League Dark is Zatanna from the DC Comics. And now the rumor mill is that they're looking at, for the front runner to play Zatanna, Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and her synonymous of movies, but Game of Thrones was most known for. Do you guys think that's the right way to go? It's just another throwback on HBO? Or do you
My one hesitation here is that the last time she picked up a major previously known character, it was in Terminator Genesis, and I don't want that to happen again.
Oh, two completely different roles. two completely different roles. This would be more in line with her character from Game of Thrones, where it's manipulations of magics and, you know, being an illusionist and being on stage and performing. And no, this is, I mean, it's an action role, but it's not, she is more like Jean Grey than, you know, her character from,
I'm
the
not
Terminator.
Saying the characters are similar. I'm just saying, I don't want to see her pick up another well-known role and then just completely bomb.
I hope she bomb.
Yeah. I don't see it. I don't. There's a couple things I don't like about it. First of all, it's another HBO series. So you're kind of dragging her back into the HBO thing. I kind of get what they're trying to do that because they're hoping to grab some of that Game of Thrones crowd, I guess, that like her and stuff. But the other thing is she's had a lot of like high-profile stuff lately Disney-wise. You know, the Solo movie, did Game of Thrones. You're just seeing too much stuff with her name on it, and I would like for them, for Zatanna, to do something, to have somebody on there that doesn't have a high profile name, because I do think Justice League Dark is going to be a great series if they can pull it off. I don't think it needs to have high profile actors or actresses at one point or another. I mean, you're going to have to drag somebody in for, you know, crossover or whatever. But I really do think they go with someone who's not as high profile because I'm just getting tired of seeing her being in every, like being considered for every role now all of a sudden.
Well, the reason I think that they're looking at high profile for Zatanna is I think Zatanna is going to end up being the main character on here because I don't think they're going to be doing you know, like Constantine there, because Constantine's over on Legends, and
although if they brought him over, that would be your big draw, is to bring him from Legends over.
No, because this is going to be an HBO series. This is not going to be jokative, happy. You know, that's
well,
guy's,
he's not that character.
But now that he's on Legends, that's
so, yeah, the way he's written on Legends, from what I've heard, is super close to the comics, but it's also definitely in a lighter vein. I mean,
big time.
Have you seen the new opening to Legends? It's very cartoony.
It is, but his character is still pretty dark. But I just love him, so.
Outside of last season he got more cartoony.
I mean, they can pull a lot of people. I mean, she was with Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Adam, Green Lantern. I mean, they could redo Green Lantern in this case.
No, it's Justice League Dark. People that are part of Justice League Dark. It would be Deadman.
I was thinking of the other one, and it would be
John Constantine, and it would be those characters. Yeah. So Zatanna makes the point to be the main character focus of the team. Yeah. So I think that's why they're going high profile. Ruru 2 says it wasn't her fault. Terminator Genesis was an S show. She didn't write it. He also said he wants high profile. It shows that HBO is willing to spend the money on it and not be a CW show. My problem going on the high profile thing. Did you have any thoughts, Nudie, before I give my little.
Personally, I think it's fun to, on another HBO show, give her a chance to redeem herself after the horrible ending for Game of Thrones and pull in some audience, like Ken was saying, that might probably part of the decision. But I think it works for the show. And if you can draw some eyeballs to it and make it a success for them, why not? I think give her a shot at it. I'm willing to check it out.
And there's okay, that's I like the word redeem. Because here's the thing. Emilia Clarke, while she is a big name and she has a lot of projects and you see her everywhere, not one of her things has been a box office like major success outside of just being on Game of Thrones. Everything else has been a failure. So she's not going to have many opportunities left too much longer. So I think that hopefully she does good with it if that does end up getting cast that way. But either that or she's just really bad at picking films because
well, no, and wait, you can't give her grief for Solo, though. That wasn't her
thing. I like Solo.
That was Solo, too. The reason why Solo wasn't a big box office because of the fact they didn't, they had to reach in. But she's going to be recasted for that same character for, I think, Mandalorian or whatever show they were talking about. So it's not like she's Obi-Wan. Yeah, exactly. So I get what they're trying to do and everything, but I mean, when I look at her, I don't see Zatanna. I just don't see her as a Zatanna for whatever reason. Something about her
The role that she tried to do with Terminator and with Game of Thrones, she's too hard for Zatanna. All her other roles, she's too light for Zatanna. She needs to have that middle ground. I think she can find it, but it is just a rumor right now. But is there any actress that you'd rather see?
Not off the top of my head right now.
Angelina and Lily 15 years ago.
We're going back in time now.
Yeah. Well, we all want to go back in time.
That can feel 20 years ago?
Yeah. I don't have anybody off the top of my head. I should have thought about that beforehand. But I just, like I said, I would rather see somebody else. In fact, like I said, somebody who maybe is a mid-card that's getting their first opportunity. It's not that HBO doesn't want to spend money, because trust me, they're spending money on freaking DC left and right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think the success, like for example, Titans has no high profile actors in there, and that's a very successful series. It was not necessarily doomed. It was just on the DC network that never got enough subscribers or people to follow.
Minka Kelly's pretty high.
What's that?
Minka Kelly's pretty high ticket, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
a show made up of solid working actors.
Yeah. And if you give them a high profile channel, if you will put Titans on HBO right off the bat, there would be a whole different thing going on. If it was produced and made exactly the same way, just put it on HBO, we wouldn't be having conversations about hopefully it comes back or something like that. People would have really enjoyed it. So I hope they find a aspiring actor that this is her break to do so with the rest of the characters.
Yeah.
Maybe Jennifer Connelly 25 years ago?
If she was younger, Eliza Dushku would have been an amazing Zatanna.
I'm talking about people that would have been. Ruru2 says Maggie Grace is Zatanna. HJZ Grox is Rachel Weisz. Bearded Master says, ooh, I think she'll do great. Is she not supposed to get roles now because she's become a name? That's ridiculous. Dan McBride did two shows on HBO and was great in both, and you don't only think of him as an HBO actor. That's not what I'm saying, Bearded.
No.
I'm not saying that because she's getting roles now, she's not supposed to get roles now. No, I'm saying that her name is going, she's going to start, her cash value, her cash value is not there because as she's attached to these films that aren't bringing back a plus amount, studios are going to be less and less likely to use her. So I hope that she gets this, she does well, and it gets her back to that, what everybody wanted coming out of Game of Thrones. So
No, he's throwing that at me. And I'm not trying to say that, that she shouldn't have any roles. Fine, let her have roles. I'm cool with that. It's just, like I said, Titans didn't have a big casting, and it's probably one of the best shows on DC had. There's a lot of shows that didn't have a lot of high profile casting. It's done quite well. And DC, if you look at DC's history as far as the last movies they've had a lot of high profile castings. And let's just say it, they haven't done well. So put a mid card.
But this is a different division. This is JJ in charge of now. So
JJ was in charge of Star Wars for a couple of them, and people shit on his stuff. So I mean,
just in case Emilia Clarke falls through or fans don't want her, Tatiana Maslany.
You know what? That one bothered. I would like. Yeah.
About A. Palinicki? I can't say her name. Palinicki.
Adrian Palicki.
Yeah. Thank you.
She's fantastic as well.
Yeah, and
she's mid.
Tatiana 6 feet tall.
No, but in the chat room, they also agreed on Ana de Armas. So, Okay, moving on. Kevin Smith, here to save Green Hornet, because he wrote a fantastic comic book featuring Green Hornet. Now Kevin Smith is in the works of creating a Green Hornet animated series. Don't know if it's going to be the exact story that was in his comic books, but we've got him re-raising Masters of the Universe. Now he's here to try and save Green Hornet. Any thoughts?
I actually read his initial run because our former colleague Igor, dearly departed, through work schedule, not through death. he sent me a link to that first run. He sent me a link to that first run, which is available for free on Kindle. If you got the Kindle app, I think it's in that you can borrow 10 books for free program. I ran through that first run that Kevin Smith did, and it's genuinely good writing. I mean, it's Kevin Smith, so it's a little bit wordy, but if they turn that into it's going to be an animated show, though, isn't it?
Yeah, animated.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
So I look forward to it. I think it'll be a little lighter than the actual comic book is what I was reading.
So probably just less visceral blood and guts. That's fine.
Yeah, and probably it's Kung Fu Bitches.
I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer here tonight, but can it save it? I don't know if Green Hornet transcends, because that's the thing. When the movie came out, not too many people remember or knew about Green Hornet. It was like an introduction to a lot of people. It didn't do too
That's what Iron Man looked like in 2002, though.
Wait, what was that? What was that, Nudie? You cut out there for a second.
That was Bruce Lee's breakout role.
But once again, does the character Green Hornet transcend into today's world? Because it was different back then, because there wasn't a lot of major characters other than Batman, in a sense, who had money, that did vehicles like that, that was able to get television. Nowadays, that's not a popular thing because everybody does it. No one has a niche to that. I mean, it's a guy riding around a mask with his chauffeur who's a martial art expert. I mean, it doesn't really transcend into the current. It kind of gets drowned, I guess, with everything that happens nowadays. You got James Bond. I mean, you've literally got Bourne. You've got all these series that uses all these different types of gadgets and gizmos. Does it transcend into something now?
Right.
Now it's a cartoon, so it gets
neither
away.
Neither of those are duos, and neither of them has a strong female protagonist as their other half, which this series would have.
Mm-hmm. I think it sounds like fun. It's a reimagining and updating of the character. Bring it into the new times.
Yeah. I understand what Vader's saying on it. I mean, it is, well, for sure. It is, you know, but that's
it's one of those things where it's been done so often it feels like a cliche. It's just that people fail to realize this was the one that did it first. This would just be a reimagining.
The problem with Green Hornet is that it's been done each time it's been done. I mean, it hasn't been done often. It's just the times it's been done has been a failure. And I think that outside of the comic, because Kevin Smith's writing is very good for the comic books, the comic book was enjoyable. And I think
the only failure was the movie from Seth Rogen, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like But that one had like three failures because it went through multiple directors and different casting and stuff before it actually came out, and then it failed after that.
It's just difficult because it's such a it's an older now all of them are old comics. Let me get that right. Okay, so every comic is old. I get that, but it's like my dad would like Green Hornet. I wasn't really big into Green Hornet when I was growing up because he's just a typical guy. I mean, he's a regular guy with a lot of money, and he's almost like a Bruce Wayne knockoff. He really is.
He's almost
is.
Like an Oliver Queen.
Yeah. And that's the problem, is that we're so saturated now with so many major superheroes and so many franchises and so much stuff that Green Hornet was just one of those really low key, you know, it launched Bruce Lee. That's what it has right now. That's its big thing. If it wasn't for Green Hornet's television series, we probably wouldn't know much about Bruce Lee in the United States.
Yeah, and it looks like chat room is mainly with you because Pete says Green Hornet would get the same viewership that Iron Fist did. Ruotu says I hate Asian leads only playing kung fu masters stereotypes. Hard pass. Yeah, I get that. Rich guy, crime fighter. HJZ Grox is leftover minor comic book character. Hard pass. And if it wasn't for the movie, there would be a strong following for it, says the Bearded Master. He loved
Green Hornet. Now, I agree with Bearded Master to a point. I think Green Hornet is one of those types of series that is better left in the novels, the graphic novels and the comics and stuff like that. Like I said, I don't know if it transcends into movies and stuff like that and shows
that's why I think doing an animated series it'll have a better chance. So
and every time one of these new shows comes out, we always ask, well, okay, who's writing it and who's going to be in it? It's going to be written by Kevin Smith.
The writing will be good.
That's a positive for me.
Yeah,
The guy loves the source material and he writes great dialogue.
Ruru2 says, don't do Green Hornet, do Fist of the North Star. But Kevin Smith didn't write Fist of the North Star. That's why he's doing this one, because he wrote it.
Yeah, and please don't do Tusk.
Tusk. I don't know. Okay, last nerd news topic. So we like talking about the weird things that happen, and what came out of Australia is a brand new Deadpool fly, right? It's a fly?
More than just Deadpool, too.
They're all flies.
So this one is black and red. You have the Deadpool fly. I'll read all these off really quick. You have the Black Widow fly, which just looks like a really crazy Black Widow.
Black Widow is already a thing. Why is there a Black Widow fly?
Yeah, right?
Wait,
that's a little mixed. I know. Kingdoms there.
I know. It's because it's getting all the geeks and the nerds involved. They're getting the geeks.
Visit Australia. We have your Avenger insects right here. Come visit us.
In Australia, there's so many insects, they have to come up with new imaginary names for everyone they find.
It's almost like naming a star after somebody.
HJZ Grock also said, ooh, Ralph Garman also wrote a Green Hornet with Kevin Smith. And I guarantee Ralph Garman will probably be a voice in the cartoon of Green Hornet. So if you like Ralph Garman as well, that's a double winner for you. We got to talk about the funnest one, and that's we got the Stan Lee fly because it looks like it has a mustache like Stan Lee,
and glasses.
Well, it's eyes raised over it. You've got the Loki fly, and then the Thor fly, which is just because it keeps slamming into things.
It's kind of funny when you look at them, they actually look like the characters, which is fun. Especially for some reason, that Loki one got my attention, the way it looked and everything.
Yeah, I wish I had photos to put up on these. I, once again, it was just a last minute of me to stream, so I'm not fully prepared to throw everything up.
I could get them if you would like me to. I could do that while you're I got it right here.
So
I will have to talk and do my thing. All right, here we go. It is right here. So here is a Deadpool fly, everyone. There's Deadpool's right there. It's kind of got the look of Deadpool.
There you
go. I think they're specifically talking about the body looks like the mask with those two black bars down where his eye masks would be.
All right, there is your Black Widow fly right there. Black Widow
looks fly. Just like ScarJo. Yep.
All right, here's a good one. They got the picture right next to it. There's the Stanley fly.
That one I actually liked. It's got the white mustache. That's kind of cool.
It shakes the Grox like, ew, ew, ew.
All right, here is the Loki fly. For some reason, I don't know. I like that one.
Looks just like a mosquito, though, man.
Well, they are in Australia. So, all right, and here's the Thor one. Right. Oh, sorry. There is the Thor fly right there.
Which, like I said, he's only named that because he keeps running into things. Come on. The dad joke's there. It's there.
Yeah. Did it crash?
He's Thor. He's
also fine. It's also got a very tiny Mjolnir.
So what do you guys think about I think what probably kicked it off was the Thor fly, just because
I don't know. I think the Deadpool one was.
Well, yeah, Deadpool's got it.
Because Hemsworth's from Australia. Because Hemsworth is Australian, so I could see them like, let's name a fly after his character, and then.
Wow, what a great honor! Let me have an insect named after my character. That is awesome. Forever,
yeah, your name will live on forever.
When you're at a picnic, let it be known that you will be bothered by the Thor fly.
Who cares about all those Hollywood credits and awards and money and stuff? Yeah, friggin' Thor.
All right, so screw my dad joke. We've got cannon fodder with the buzz is all the rage in this news article.
Oh, he's that's definitely
And
IP ban people.
And HJZ Grok let us know that the Loki fly has horns in side view, so that's probably where the name came from for that one. So I still don't understand the Black Widow. It looks like it is wearing a leather outfit, though. That could be why it's the Black Widow fly.
But you still need a Black Widow fly. A Black Widow is a thing. Let it be.
Yeah, they could have called it Yelena Bolslevic or whatever.
Well, they could have made it more realistic, and you could have had a Black Widow with wings. I mean, that's what everybody wants, right?
No.
It's coming. That's coming in August.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's starting tomorrow.
It's bad enough that I got to worry about Thor flies now and Deadpool flies. And I got to start. Don't kill it. It's an Avenger.
So, that's Australia. Australia is known for its bugs and its creatures. And at least have fun with it, I guess, at this point. Because,
dude, Australia's got it all. What is it? It's got the Lord of the Rings locations, and now it has Avenger incidents.
That's New Zealand.
Close enough. How about that? They're close. I know you don't tell one or the other because
you would have been more realistic if you would have said it's got the certain things and it's got dingoes to eat babies.
Do you want a ton of insects and arachnids that can kill you, or mountains and sheep? I'm going mountains and sheep.
Don't forget those killer sheep, though. All right,
crazy for you.
Okay, last thing for tonight. It's just our little anger
right off the cast for
it's
that.
Our little anger thing for tonight. This is the topics that we've talked about before that have new things that pop up into them. This is the stop me if you've heard this before.
Wait a minute, you ain't heard nothing yet.
What is it? What is that? Tell me!
So, something we've talked about before, came up with a new thing, and that's George R. R. Martin. You know, the book's not out yet. It's not, no date on it yet. But it was learned we can now drop George into a volcano because he literally said, what, no? What do you mean, no?
Imprisoned in a shack next to a volcanic lake that belches sulfuric acid.
I want
to
drop him in it.
Him in there and I want make to drop him in it.
The whole point of it is that he's such a slippery little shit, he managed to technicality his way out of this bet.
Yep, yep.
He said, if I show up at that New Zealand WonderCon without that book in my hand, you're free to lock me up next to the acid lake on top of the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
He avoided that by not showing up to New Zealand WonderCon.
Yeah, no, WonderCon, didn't it get canceled?
We exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So yeah, he said that you could lock him up on top of the acid lake and make him write it until he was done writing, which made fandom go, yes, we can throw him into an acid lake now.
How about just take away his blood pressure medication? See what happens.
just pull a Misery and break his ankles.
Well, that's...
Yep. He's already stuck at home. You don't need to break his ankle. It's not like he's using the ankles anyways. He's sitting at home not doing shit. I mean, apparently he broke his wrist because he can't type right now.
No, that's the gout.
He's got scurvy.
What was this?
It's the damn lumbago.
Lumbago, shitter's full. Wait, no, that's Winnebago. No.
Okay. So yeah, his actual quote was: "As for finishing my book, I fear that New Zealand would distract me entirely too much. Best leave me here in Westeros for the nonce. But I tell you this: if I don't have the Winds of Winter in hand when I arrive in New Zealand for Worldcon, you have here my formal written permission to imprison me in a small cabin on White Island, overlooking that lake of sulfuric acid until I'm done. Just so long as the acritic fumes do not screw up my old DOS word processor, I'll be fine." And he wrote
his... Might as well be using a Selectric typewriter or a fucking golf pencil.
His remote control in the living room is distracting him. You don't need to blame it on the fucking country, okay?
To be fair, in his living room, that remote control has a cord that goes to the TV.
Let's remember, the last time we talked about him, he was like, oh, I'm going to get it done now because it's COVID and I'm stuck in my home. Yada. You know, the only thing that's happened, he's probably gained 20 pounds and probably figured out new different ways of using Nutella or whatever kind of stuff. I mean, I'm dumbfounded. I'm going to rant on him just because of the simple fact I'm not a freaking writer, but I could tell you I could probably write a freaking novel a lot faster than this guy can. My NBA 2K game is a hell of a lot better now. I'm really concentrating on stuff because of COVID. He can't write a fucking book. He's probably got one page left.
The reason we bring this up is Worldcon was supposed to happen this weekend, and
he wrote
this on May 21st of 2019. So at worst, we should hopefully, if New Zealand has their stuff together, which I'm or wherever he's at, if they have it together, I don't know where he's at. At worst, whatever the delay of COVID is, we should have the book after that. At worst, hopefully, if he was truthful about putting him on a freaking cabin.
He's not.
No. But
we need to get Kathy Bates out there.
The culture went even further with it, because now not only are people pissed off at George R. R. Martin, they're really pissed off at Patrick Rothfuss as well. In fact, his publisher came out and straight out called him out for this delay of writing books. It's been 7 years, and how it costs the publisher money when you go ahead.
She came out by tweeting a bunch of loud stuff and then deleting it later. She clearly got drunk after, like, this dude has not turned anything in 8 years. What am I? I don't even have a job. I go to the office for no reason. I'm getting drunk. And then she got on Twitter and it was a bad idea.
I think the amount of tweeting she did probably surpassed both of them writing for the last 8 years.
And it was on Facebook. So, you know, nothing's ever deleted from Facebook. But I need Jim Butcher
to ride both of them down and slap them.
She wrote, "When authors don't produce, it basically F's their publishers," and speculated that Rothfuss hadn't written anything for 6 years.
Well, he's admitted it. The difference between Rothfuss and Martin is Martin is a tease, and he's like, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm going to finish this. Rothfuss has flat out said, I have writer's block. I don't know what I'm writing. I don't know how I'm going to finish this. I'm a dumb fat ass who can't do this, so sorry, guys, I suck. Like, so at least he's being honest about what a tool bag he's being.
I'm sure he asked for advances, though.
Yeah.
Unlike George R. Martin being a saucy little wench.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. No, I'm going to stay here for the nonce. Come on.
So, I mean,
I got,
But you had, I mean, Rothfuss, in my opinion, I like Rothfuss's books better than Game of Thrones. I think he's a better writer than George R. R. Martin.
I refuse to start any new series unless it has 2/3 of the series done or something like In Death where there's like 50 books.
Or if you're just an old fat white guy with a giant beard, I'm not reading your book series until it's done. So if you,
I am not writing a book series then.
I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna read it.
If you look like Gandalf, and a Gandalf, you know what? It goes with Gandalf perfectly.
Yeah.
A wizard's book arrives precisely when it means to.
You shall not write. So once again, I'm gonna say this one more time. This is their freaking job. All they have to do is write. Like, I would love to have that job. You know what? Maybe I'm going to pull up a producer and I'm going to start writing a book. I have no idea what it's going to be about, but I guarantee that by the end of tomorrow, I will have more pages written than George R. whatever the fuck his name is can't write anymore. It's ridiculous.
To be fair, he's got like 7 jillion intertwining plots that he has to resolve.
Yeah.
I could see how that would be daunting, but still, it's been 9 years since the last book.
Yeah, but their book series are totally different. Yeah.
Maybe he's waiting for Flashpoint to come out so he can sit there and say, oh, I can retcon everything because, you know, the Flash went back in time and screwed things up. I don't know.
We all personally know somebody that wrote a book in like a month and a half.
That's going to happen. Yeah. Hodor's whole connection to the past is
Christian Yarn.
It's gonna just change everything. Yeah,
I'm gonna laugh if this book comes out and it's gonna have like Thundercats or Thundara in there or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. Actually, sure. That'd be kind of fun.
I know. Christian Yarn to DJ the release party.
He just needs to leave. Yeah, what he needs to do is just put a book out and then leave like the last like 30 pages blank and just be like, write your own ending. and just have
publish your error. Fill it in yourself.
Can someone put the old video game Dragon's Lair in there? Maybe that'll spur him a little bit, you know?
Even better. Got to make it a choose-your-own-adventure series, except you could never find the one where you get all the way to the end.
Mm.
Oh. Oh, those are like
ones. Don't put that voodoo on choose-your-own-adventure, you bastard. Those books are awesome.
Canner Fodder said that is some serious writer's block. H.J.Z. Grock was very happy to hear us talk about Rothfuss, I guess.
He's not as well known.
Yeah, of course I know. Yeah. But his stuff has been picked up to be made into films, so.
Get your freaking book done then. Yeah. So.
And Bearded Master, the problem is I don't want to start a series. I want to finish one. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
and they said that he sounds like he's just
reportedly
lazy.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying they said that it sounds like he's just lazy.
I mean, they already abortively tried to make a television series out of The Sword of Truth. If they could cast it correctly and have some higher production values, that would be the next big fantasy epic adventure that could span multiple seasons. And that's already done, and done well.
I mean, what George R. R. Martin could have done to make this like more fun, at least, all this waiting and stuff, was, you know, those people that put out like the massive scavenger hunts where if you can find this it's worth something and stuff, you know, just put a page around different places and just have the fans just flock for the next page on the scavenger hunt. And
it worked for Misha Collins, so why not?
Yeah, right. He has to write some home.
Game of Thrones show did have a massive
scavenger hunt. They put like 4 Throne of Swords hidden around the world at some point.
They put 4 Starbucks
cups. But you don't know what those were. Those were all caramelized ashes of all the pages that he's burnt while not actually writing the book.
No, you know what? Whoever found one of those, they should pull it up and look under it. Maybe the book is underneath there. It's kind of like the Oprah surprise. Hey, look underneath your chair. You want a book. You want a book.
You get a dead manuscript, and you get a dead manuscript, and you get a broken dog beer.
That would have been the hilarious thing, is Oprah like, you get a, oh wait, it's not done yet. I'm sorry, guys, your price isn't there. No books.
You get a voucher, and you get a voucher.
IOUs for everybody. All right, that's it.
If he wants me to, I'll do stick figures and crayon to help him finish it out. Fuck it. At least someone, you know, it'll be done. Shit.
Well, they said, what did they say? 1,000 monkeys on typewriters could eventually type out Shakespeare? So that's just what we
infinite
need.
Monkeys on infinite typewriters, yeah.
We'll eventually type out the
complete works
of Shakespeare. Yeah. But none of them will ever finish Winds of Winter.
Hey, I hope this makes them feel good. Didn't last week's a 4-year-old get published? I think I saw that. Possibly. There was a 4-year-old that wrote poetry, and he got published. So George R.R. Martin, a 4-year-old, just got published, you jackass. Finish your stuff.
Well, that just means that 4-year-old has more time to not come out with their next poem. Because
Maybe we can get the 4-year-old to finish it. I'm sure he can do that.
The 4-year-old's next poem isn't coming out until he's 13. So,
Cannon Fodder said he's waiting for Elder Scrolls 6 to come out so he can have new ideas. all right. That's it. That's the cast for this week. Thank you guys for joining us on this dumpster fire that has been a...
George R. R. Martin.
Me trying to get all this thing figured out and done. Let's talk about where you can follow everybody outside this cast. With starting next to me, Super Whovian. Where can people follow?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Super Whovian Nut. I won't be very active this week, probably, though, because I start my Gish tomorrow. So, and you can follow me on Instagram at Super Whovian Freak.
And Nudie Rudy.
One of those was supposed to be Nut, I'm fairly sure.
What was that?
Huh? You can follow me at Nudie Rudy on Instagram and on Twitter.
Just figure out how to spell it. If you're listening, it's one way or the other. And
just watch out for that site, though. You know, don't hit that one link. All right.
And Masonic Vader, where can people follow you?
Yeah. Not on that Nudie Rudy link. I'll tell you that. You can follow me at Masonic Vader 71 PlayStation Network. Please, if you send an invite as a friend or something like that, or if you're checking it out, please let me know you saw me on the show here. Masonic Vader on Twitter. Thank you.
IC Zorro, where can people follow you?
Follow me at IC Zorro on Instagram, Twitter, and PlayStation Network.
That's the Nudie Rudy site, apparently. All right.
Okay.
Oh, you checked it out? No,
that's Goatsy.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Nutshub girl.
You want to follow everything having to do with this cast, head on over to malice-corp.com. All different stuff there. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, make sure you're subscribing, make sure you're following, hitting those bells, and dropping a review, letting us know how the experience is. And you're coming back and joining us every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern on Twitch at twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. If you want to interact at any time and just talk about geek, nerd, and pop culture and memes and GIFs and all that good stuff, jump over to facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast. If you want to follow me, I am on Twitter at @mest_MaliceCorp or on Instagram at @mest5150. That's all we got for you. We'll be back next Friday. You guys keep nerding on and have a safe end to your July.
Wear your masks.